Welcome to the Chamberlain's Law Firm Lawcast, this sixth day of spring, being the sixth day of September 2019. I'm here in the Canberra office with John May, who is our special counsel, and today we're here to talk to everybody and each other about negotiations. Now, John, negotiations is a word that gets thrown around quite a bit in the legal industry and for many clients. And I think there's a lot of confusion generally about exactly what negotiations are. Are we in a courtroom? Lawyers having a fight with each other? So I guess the first thing, which could provide us with some sort of clarity, is you outlining what you think negotiations are in terms of our job and for clients.
Yeah, Hugh, thanks for having me. I think any good negotiation is a process, and it's a process of being able to interact with your clients and interact with the other side to a dispute with the ability to ultimately influence the decisions that they make or influence your client's decision making.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess the way that many people, myself even, sometimes view negotiations is we've got court proceedings on, everyone's fighting with each other, and you've got mediators and barristers and lots of people and moving parts. Is that always the case?
No, it's not always the case, and you know, you've probably been involved in 10 negotiations even before you got to work today. So there's lots to it. There's lots of moving parts. It's not always in that sort of high tension, high stress scenario. Usually any good negotiation probably starts from the first time you meet with your client and speak with them and take some instructions and get to know them and get to understand their case. That is really the start part, because you can then influence the way you contact the other side and get the dispute actually moving along. The part that you just described is really the pointy end of the stick, where the parties are actually bringing themselves face to face and, you know, can look into the whites of each other's eyeballs and really try and resolve the dispute without it needing to go any further.
So when should I start thinking about negotiations throughout the course of my matter?
I think you should probably do that from the very start. You should probably even think about it before you come and see a lawyer. More often than not, people will contact a lawyer when something pretty aggressive has happened, or they've just been sent a letter of demand, or they've got this legal issue that's arisen, and they usually just give it to the lawyer and say, here, deal with this. But I think the better approach is to think about how the dispute arose, what options you've got to actually deal with it, and what you actually want your lawyer to do. You'll go along to a lawyer and you'll ask for some advice about things, but you'll have a pretty good idea of what you want to do with the dispute from the very start.
Well, do you think that negotiation and negotiating early is a sign of weakness?
No, I don't. I think getting a dispute out of the way early, or at least engaging the other side in a negotiation, is actually a sign of strength. It means that you've got a bit of control over the process, because we can't pretend that legal proceedings are inexpensive. They're very expensive. They can be hard fought. They can be drawn out. They can take a toll on people. So for that, from that perspective, getting everybody together in the room early on is actually a good thing. The second thing it does is it allows the parties to try and narrow the issues that are in dispute between them. So often they'll come along to these negotiations. You can ask them questions in real time. You can think about their answers. And you can really form a view as to what it is the other side is asking and how it is you're going to meet or negotiate around that dispute.
Yeah, and I guess a good question when thinking about negotiating early on is how someone would come to the conclusion that they want to negotiate. So if I'm in a dispute, I'm very angry, someone's taken my money, they owe me lots of money and they've been belligerent, rude to me and haven't responded. How would I, through my lawyer, approach it in a way that it doesn't show weakness and puts us with the best foot forward at the negotiating table, so to speak?
Yeah, usually the process before you even engage the other side is to sit down with your lawyer and make sure that he or she really understands the case that you're trying to bring or the case that you're trying to defend. And with that lawyer's good understanding of your case, then you can start to formulate a plan as to you know, how you want to go ahead. Do you want to start to send off formal letters to the other side? Do you want to, you know, deal with the process in a slightly different way? Do you want to contact the lawyer on the other side informally? Is there even a lawyer on the other side? Or are you dealing with somebody who at this stage is self-represented? And all of those things are to be done in consultation with your client, but I think that's probably it's the reason that the first conference with your lawyer is the most critical.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's really a matter of a client trusting their lawyer and communicating with their lawyer honestly and openly from the beginning. Is that true?
Yeah, and that's why I have stressed the importance of meeting with your client, probably in person. That's ideal, but having the client understand that you've got a really good grasp on the case, you've got a good grasp of the law, those two things are important, but also a good grasp of what you actually want to achieve out of the process. Remember, not everybody wants to have their day in court, so to speak. In fact, probably in the greater volume of cases, people just want the case to go away as efficiently as possible. And let's be honest, they want to be doing that in a way that's not going to cost them an arm and a leg in legal fees.
So I guess we've spoken a bit, that makes a lot of sense, John, thank you. I guess we've spoken a bit about why we would go into negotiations. Let's speak a little bit about when negotiations are occurring and what stress management systems a client can put in place, because negotiations are, as you know, a very stressful time for anyone. We're generally dealing with a lot of money and a lot of emotions. What would you recommend to clients in order to help them deal with the stress of the days before a negotiation and even during one?
Well, yeah, you're right. They are stressful, or they can be stressful. And usually people's stress is alleviated by actually understanding what the arguments are. And part of the reason to not only understanding your case, but understanding the other side's case, is that you can deal with it on the day in a pretty flexible sort of way, in a dynamic sort of way. So what I mean by that is, you can understand your view, the other side will put his or her or its view to you. You can understand and actually provide proper instructions to your lawyer or provide proper feedback to your lawyer in real time. That means that what you're actually doing is narrowing the issues on the day. So even if the dispute doesn't resolve at the settlement conference or the mediation or whatever form of alternative dispute resolution process, you've actually narrowed the issues, thereby creating a more effective or streamlined process for yourself.
If I'm a client and I'm at a settlement conference or a mediation, do I have to speak?
That is a really good question, and I think the answer is, if you want to, of course you can. Part of the idea of having a lawyer engaged is that that lawyer will do the speaking on your behalf, but if you really have something to say, I'd give strong advice that you'd speak to your lawyer about that. We'd structure it in such a way that you deliver a particular message. And the message that you deliver would be pretty carefully crafted so that we all know what you're going to say. And
that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So if I do decide that I want to speak, or even if I tell you to speak for me, can that be used against me when I'm having negotiations later down the track?
Yeah, so usually you'll hold these sort of alternative dispute resolution conferences, and we use that term to include things like court-appointed mediations, private mediations, informal settlement conferences, in a way that is on a without prejudice basis. And what that really means is the information that you convey during that conference can't be used in court against you, can't be raised as evidence. So, for example, if you make a statement, the other side can't simply say to the court, well, at the informal settlement conference on X date, they said this, so that is a fact which goes to prove part of our case.
Yes. And what would you consider to be an example of a bad negotiation? Where can things go wrong, and where have you seen things go wrong historically?
I think a bad negotiation is a negotiation where people just fail to communicate properly. You can finish a negotiation quickly. That's not necessarily a sign of a bad negotiation. But one would be where, you know, the other side is obstinate, or the other side just decides, do you know what, I'm going to dig in here. We've only got one position. We're not going to change our position, and we're going to go through this process simply as a form of convincing the court that we've actually tried to resolve the matter, because you've got to remember in the ACT and in New South Wales and many other jurisdictions in Australia, the court's actually going to encourage the parties to go to a mediation or hold some sort of informal settlement conference in order to get to the next stage of listing the matter for hearing. And that's one of the boxes that you actually need to tick.
So even if I don't want to, the court may make me go to mediation?
The court may make you go to mediation more than once.
Wow.
So it may be the fact in very few of the cases that there's just absolutely no chance of resolving the matter with the other side. That can happen, but generally there's room to negotiate, and in those circumstances, a really good mediator will be absolutely worth his or her salt. Absolutely adds so much value to that process.
Because the parties have to pay for the mediator, don't they?
Yep, and that can be expensive, but it can also, in my experience, really unlock some of the different ways of thinking about the dispute. Usually a mediator is somebody who is not only experienced in resolving matters like this or mediating matters like this, but they're also experienced practitioners themselves who have seen 1,000 other cases like it and can actually offer some alternatives to the positions that the disputing parties are exhibiting at the time.
Well, that must be some relief for many clients, I suppose, having a truly independent party who can provide clarity to everybody.
Yeah, I think it does, and I think it gives the client an opportunity to speak with the mediator, not necessarily or not at all get advice from the mediator, but to just have a second set of eyes over a case and to talk to you in a really frank and plain way about the shortcomings potentially in your case or the real strengths in your case. Usually a mediator who would be an experienced practitioner, you know, could actually speak to those strengths and weaknesses, and that is outside of the setting of the solicitor and client engagement, which I think can be a helpful thing.
Absolutely. It definitely sounds like it. So we've briefly touched on the examples of a bad negotiation. I suppose if we now change tact and look at a good negotiation. My first question in that regard is, how often have you been to negotiations and the client has gotten absolutely everything that they wanted?
Never.
Never.
It's pretty rare. That's not the point of the negotiation. The point of the negotiation is to try and reach some sort of compromise. So if you're fighting over X sum of money, your choice as a client, if you're the plaintiff, for example, or an applicant in other jurisdictions, is to simply press your matter on to court, have the matter heard and dealt with, and, you know, put your fate in the hands of the judges. And if you can prove your case at 100%, you get 100% of your win. But the whole point of a negotiation is to actually reach a compromise that both sides are equally happy with, or some people might describe it as being equally unhappy with, and so that both sides can walk away without actually the need to expend all of that money on, you know, bringing the whole circus to the court.
Yeah, so I find that very interesting, because many people would come to their lawyer with a very firm position and want their lawyer to get everything for them. But from what I've heard from this discussion, it sounds like you need to obviously have your position and know what you want, but before you even engage your lawyer, you also need to know what you're willing to settle for in a negotiation that you'll ultimately likely be forced to have if you go to court.
Yeah, that's right, because remember, it's not about just doing deals in these sort of circumstances. It's about the commercial cost to the client of going ahead and proving what he, she, or it thinks. So you might have a client who is absolutely firm on his or her view that the case is an absolute winner, but as a lawyer yourself, you need to look at it and say, well, yes, I can understand what you say about that. Usually there's two sides to a dispute, and even when you've determined what the two sides are, you've got to figure out how you're going to prove it. And usually, particularly if we're getting to informal settlement conferences or mediations nice and early in the piece, you might save yourself a whole lot of money by making a compromise and not leaving it to the judiciary at the end of the day, because that can be an uncertain process, and hearings can be a pretty uncertain process too.
And very stressful.
Yeah, very stressful process. I mean, people can't discount the emotional toll that it takes and to actually run one of those matters or take a matter to hearing. Remember, if you're the plaintiff, 9 out of 10 times you're going to be giving evidence. which I'm sure not a lot of people do a lot, if ever, and that's a stressful process.
No, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time, John. I think a great takeaway is before you begin a matter, you must always think about negotiating, really.
Yeah, I think that's right. You shouldn't be left with the thought that going to court is something that's not achievable. It's just that you should explore any options to resolve a matter beforehand, even if that's to resolve the matter completely or to narrow the issues, which is another important consideration. And quite frankly, if you can't, then that's when you actually go to court.
Well, thank you so much, John. Thank you for coming to the Chamberlain's Lawcast. We'll look forward to seeing you soon on another topic.
Thanks very much.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. As with all Chamberlain's Law Firm podcasts, the information that you have heard in this podcast is not legal advice and cannot be considered legal advice. If you have any questions or queries, please do not hesitate to contact our office on 02 6188 3600 or otherwise look us up on our website, which is www.chamberlains.com.au.